Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to study the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. Lesson 6. The Sealed People of God. Restraining the winds. In chapter 7 of Revelation, we read in verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And they are just about to let the winds blow. They are on the verge. Let them go. And we see this on this painting here, made by Maximilian Jentschen, an Austrian artist. And we can see the four angels surrounding our planet. Here they are. What's going on then? What are these four winds? They are catastrophes in nature, earthquakes, volcano eruptions, hail, thunderstorm, tsunami, flood, no rain, avalanches. So what you can imagine in nature, hurricanes, thunderstorms, fire destroying whole regions, landscapes. And these are about to happen. And I saw another angel in verse 2 ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, who is the one having the seal of the living God? That's Jesus. He commands these four angels, wait. Wait a minute. Wait a minute till our servants of God are sealed. We know from the Apostle Paul, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. How is it possible to be sealed? When you come close to Jesus, when you love him, when you spend time with him, studying his word, being together, the more time you spend, the more texts you read, the opener your heart, the bigger your love, and you will be filled more and more with the Holy Spirit. And the sense of it, once you are sealed, you are protected. When all these catastrophes in nature will take place, it will be a terrible disaster on this planet. You can be sure about that. The sealed people of God. When we go on reading in chapter 7 of Revelation, verse 4, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." So this would mean, if we read that literally and not symbolically, that only Jews are saved. And then we would be in error. Of course, this is not the case. And then the tribes are named, 12 tribes. Interesting, Judah is the first, not Reuben, the really firstborn. Because it's a spiritual way of interpreting. And it's interesting that Dan and Ephraim have been left out, although they are two of the 12 tribes. Instead of them, Levi is there, a tribe which got no land. And Joseph as a tribe, which is even more astonishing, because with Joseph it is the following. His two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, are the leaders of two tribes. They have multiplied so much, the descendants of Joseph, so that two tribes came out of Joseph. And now one of his sons, Ephraim, has been left out because this tribe adored idols like Dan. And so there is Joseph the father and one son Manasseh. So you see, there is a kind of disorder. They are spiritually named. And it's all Israel. Israelites. Those who are followers of Jesus, they are the true, loyal Israelites, the Israel of God. And these are saved. Now what about the number? 144,000. It consists of 12, which will the result be 144, and then 1,000. And if you combine these together, then you come to 144,000. So 12 times 1,000 times. This number has been taken literally and symbolically. But what is right? We do not really know. And it doesn't really matter. What matters is the fact, are you within, among this number? Well, what does it help you when you know exactly it's 144,000 in numbers, or symbolically taken, it's just a certain amount of people who are saved, when you are not there? And if you are there, what's the sense of it if you know exactly either this or that? Important is to be among this number. And therefore, you need to be sealed. And to be sealed, you need to be together with Jesus day by day. It would be good for us to have 1 hour daily with your Lord. This is a secret for salvation. 1 hour daily. Then there's a chance to be among the 144,000. Who are 12 times 1,000. times together. Do you save time each day being together with your Lord? Would be good for you. The great multitude. If we go on reading in chapter 7 in Revelation, we read in verse 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Sign of victory. "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." A great multitude. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb. So they are in heaven. The great multitude, all the saved of all the centuries of mankind. All those who loved Jesus were loyal to him. And those of the Old Testament who loved their God and wanted to obey his commands. There's an interesting story about Jehovah's Witnesses. They were formed about 1869, and in 1931 they had reached this number of 144,000 in membership. And they were now more than this number. Now what to do with those who are more than 144,000? They were too much. It was fine to grow, but not more than this number. So Judge Rutherford had the following idea. He said, well, there are the 144,000 and there are this big multitude, this great multitude. So the 144,000, they have celestial hope. And the others, they will stay on earth here. Different levels of salvation. But here we read in verse 9, this great multitude, they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. Interesting. So they are in heaven, aren't they? In the center of the universe. And in verse 11 we read, "And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God." The angels are there and a great multitude is there. They are together, one unit around the throne. Here we see, if you fall in error, theological error, another error will follow. It's like a puzzle. When you put one of these pieces in the wrong place, then one will be left over, one of these pieces, and it will not fit anywhere else. So if you make one mistake, there will follow at least a second. And it's the same here. The great multitude is in heaven. And from there, we will come again on this planet after the 1,000 years. This is another story. Now, this great multitude consists of all the saints of all centuries, and they are there being among those who are saved. This is our aim, getting there. This is our aim, being among them. When Jesus returns, did the angels take you with all the others up there to the center of the universe? Will you be there? Those who follow the Lamb. In chapter 7, an elder asks John about these saved people, the great multitude. What are these which are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have come out of great tribulation. Through all the centuries, saints came out of great tribulations because the devil wanted to hunt them. And God allowed it so that they were polished in their character. Tribulation produces great characters. Now in chapter 14, we find the 144,000 again. There we read, And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers, harping with their harps. Oh, it must have been a wonderful music. And they sang, as it were a new song, before the throne, and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no man could learn that song but 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Just reading this verse, we can illustrate what is symbolic and what is literal meaning. If we use this verse in a literal meaning, we interpret it like this. This would mean only men who have never married, who were never in direct contact with women, they are saved. And this would be nonsense, because this has to be interpreted symbolically. They are virgins. It means they have been loyal to their God. They have not gone astray. A whore, she runs away with other men. Fine character of a woman, she stays with her husband. And this is the meaning. A woman who remains faithful, that's symbolically somebody who stays to the Lord. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. That's the point. They follow the lamp. They were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the lamp. The 144,000 are those who are still living on earth when Jesus returns with his angels. They have never seen death. Now, what is the special meaning of them? In their mouth was found no guile. No falsity at all. They are without fault before the throne of God. Our tongue, that's a dangerous element of our body. With our tongue we can say wonderful words and words full of hate. That should not be, James in his letter says. Be careful with your tongue. Because the 144,000, in their mouth, nothing falls. Salvation to our God and the Lamb. In the second letter of Peter, we find the following words. Peter addresses people who wait for the coming, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the second letter, in the third chapter, we read in verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, where in dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." That you may be found of him in peace. Are you in peace with everybody? Are you in peace with everybody? Or is there still something between you and somebody? It's dangerous. It was in a home, we studied the Bible together, and one lady, she had a quarrel with her sister. It happened 10 years ago, but they had never come together in harmony again because of this quarrel. For 10 years, there was something in between. And when she heard about this, she became nervous. She said, well, what she did, and I can never forgive her, and so on and so on. And she is the one who has to be blamed for all of that. But what should Christians do? You should act as one who makes the first step. And I told her about that. There's a chance. And a week afterwards, she appeared again in this Bible study group. But it wasn't a walking in, it was something like hovering in. She was so happy. And then she said, oh, I did the following. I bought a big bunch of flowers and then I rang the doorbell at my sister's home. When my sister opened, she got wide eyes. She saw me. She saw the bunch of flowers. And then I hardly could say it, but I said, "Forgive me. I've done wrong to you." And she burst out in tears. And then they hugged each other. And the tears, they came trickling down the cheeks. And a bunch of flowers, it was a little bit damaged, but it didn't matter. They were together. And she said, "Oh, I have peace now. How silly I was. Why haven't I done it before? 10 years ago, I should have done it." Therefore, Paul tells us, if you're in quarrel, let not the sun go down before you try to be in harmony again. Let not the sun go down. As long as it is warm, you can handle with it in a better way. Think of dishes you have used, food, rest of food is on it, and you do not do the washing up at once. You leave it for a day or two or three or four. It dries up. And what then? How would you clean it then? It's hard. It's not easy. So therefore, use the time now before it is too late. Will you do that? Summary. We've heard about Jesus telling the four angels to make a break. There's a time where there's still grace. The catastrophes in nature are not allowed to take place as it will happen in the last days. There is a chance. A chance for doing something. Now, it is a chance where you can be sealed with the Holy Ghost. But what do you have to do to be among those who are sealed? In the Epistle of Paul to the Romans in chapter 3, we find in verse 20, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified." You can do good works again and again. No flesh will be justified by the deeds of the law. That's written here. But by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is like a mirror. You look into it and then you see, there is a spot, here and here. Can the mirror clean my dark spots? Of course not. That's not the task of a mirror. It shows you the dark spots. But cleaning, it's somebody else's job. The blood of Christ is the only washing powder that is able to cleanse you from your sin. The only one. We read here in verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace," not by your deeds, "through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood." And in verse 28, we find, and that's really great to see, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Justified by faith. Now, what does that mean? The law is just good for nothing? Oh, no. Verse 31, we read, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid! We establish the law. Because once you have forgiven and you have experienced grace and peace, love comes out of your heart. Love towards Jesus. And once there is love, you're willing to obey, isn't it? Without love, it's impossible to obey the law. Only with love it's possible. So, Jesus is the one, when we have a good look at him, when we study him, his words, his behavior, his character, what he did on earth, how he sacrificed himself for our sins, then you see his love. And then love towards Jesus will be created. And you will be filled more and more with the Holy Spirit. Your faith will grow. More and more faith, more and more love, more and more Spirit in you. That's the way how we are saved. But you need time. It would be good for us to reserve 1 hour daily being together with your Lord, studying his life. An excellent help, the book by Ellen G. White, The Desire of Ages. Will you do that? Amen.